This is taken from the words of the Apostle Paul, his letter to the brethren at Ephesus. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote his letter to the Ephesians after he had been a follower of the Lord for almost 25 years. In this letter to the Ephesians, more perhaps than in any other, he shows the eternal purpose of our God and dwells on the class predestinated by God to be associated with Jesus, with his sufferings, and also in heavenly glory. Now, in the first chapter of his letter to the Ephesians, he sets forth two wonderful thoughts. The first one is in the 18th verse of the first chapter, God's inheritance in the saints. Then going back to the 11th verse, our inheritance in Christ Jesus. Now, it is this latter thought, our inheritance in Christ Jesus, that we will concentrate on during our allotted time. Because if we are faithful to our present inheritance in Christ Jesus, we shall be a part of that class described as God's inheritance. Now, Paul opened his epistle with these words, Blessed be God, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He does not here refer to blessings which are to be ours in the future, but he says, who has blessed us. In other words, our blessings are present, and they are spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And they refer to our spiritual relationship that we have with Christ. In other words, a change has taken place in the spirit of our minds. We are now the children of God. Paul tells us in Galatians 3:26, For ye are all the children of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Weymouth's translation of Colossians, the first chapter, verse 12 and 3, reads, Give thanks to the Father who has made us fit to receive our share of the inheritance of God's people in light. It is God who has delivered us out of the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his dearly beloved Son, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, yes, who has made us fit to receive our share of the inheritance of God's people in light, who has delivered us, who has transferred us. Now, this can be no mistake that this refers to our present inheritance. Now, the light of divine truth and all it means to us in Christ Jesus is our share of our inheritance now. We have been transferred into the kingdom of God's dearly beloved Son. We who were children of Adam, sold under sin, have become children of light. There is therefore now no condemnation on them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 6 and 7, we read, For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, when we read, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, our minds immediately return to the first chapter of Genesis, verses 2 and 3. When the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light, and there was light. Yes, brethren, it is the same Spirit, the same power or energy of God which is shining in your hearts and mine. And that is what has made the change. Now the apostle shows us that we are now the children of God. And he shows us how we entered into that relationship. You know, it is well to review and consider this scripture over and over again, no matter how long we have been in God's family, for it always brings back to our minds what we were and how much we rely and depend on our Heavenly Father's providences, in whom we have redemption, deliverance through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Now this is a simple truth, but it is one which we must accept right at the beginning. It is through his blood alone that we can have any relationship with God. Now reading the 8th to the 10th verse of 1st Ephesians. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Yes, he has made known unto us something which was not revealed in past dispensation. It was not revealed to the holy men of old who wrote as they were moved by the Spirit of God, neither the angels who desired to look into them. But Brother Yike mentioned about it this morning, the mystery is revealed to you and I, that there should be a class not only redeemed by Jesus Christ, but they should also be associated with him in his sufferings and later in his glory. Now Weymouth makes it very plain. He says he made known unto us the secret of his will. Now you know a secret is not told to everyone, because if it was, it would no longer be a secret. But it is a mystery to all those but to whom the Lord has shown it. Now the revelation of the plan of God has made known these things to us, and we understand by the apostles' words that we are predestinated, not as individuals, but as a class, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now that which brings us into relationship with Christ is shown in the 12th and 13th verses, where the word of truth is shown to be the gospel of your salvation. And we read, after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now this word believed carries the thought of obedience after hearing. It is when we have heard the instructions in the Word and acted upon them by making an unreserved consecration that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Now we often have heard the scripture quoted, believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. But believing implies more than accepting as a fact the life and death of Jesus. It means believing and acting upon all that he said. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 24 and 25, Jesus told his disciples, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now, when this step is taken, the sealing of the Holy Spirit begins to take place in our hearts. Those who are willing to lose their lives for the Master's sake, they appear foolish in the eyes of the world. But they are truly wise in the sight of our Heavenly Father, and they are blessed by Him. Our Lord also said, "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you." Now Jesus knew when He said these words to the disciples that they would not understand Him. But He also knew that when they received the Holy Spirit in their hearts, they would understand the full significance of these words. Yes, they would then appreciate the opportunity of eating His flesh and drinking His blood by being associated with Him. So He said in John the 14th chapter, verse 20, "At that day ye shall know." Well, that day came at Pentecost, when there began to dawn upon them the meaning of what the Master had taught them. Yes, they gradually understood the true significance of the oneness that Jesus prayed for would exist between His followers. This is recorded for us in the 17th chapter of John, verses 21 to 24. Yes, a wonderful relation exists, not only between Jesus and His followers, but also between the Father, our Lord, and those willing to lose their lives in obedience to the terms, and to continue faithful unto the end. "He that keepeth my commandment, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. If a man keep my words, my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Yes, these are love of the Father. Now our Heavenly Father looks down today and sees the sin of men and women in the world today. He also sees a little company here and there who believe in His precious word and take it as direct from Him. Yes, these fully believe His word, and they try to shape and conform their lives by the things written in the Scriptures. Yes, these are truly sealed by the Holy Spirit. And you know this sealing is a very real thing in their lives. 2 Corinthians, first chapter, verse 18 to 22, Weymouth translation reads this way: "As certainly as God is faithful, your language to you is now yes and no. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did not show Himself a waver between yes and no, but it was and always is yes with Him. For all the promises of God have their confirmation in Him. And for this reason, through Him also our amen acknowledges their truth and promotes the glory of God through our faith. But He who is making us as well as you steadfast through union with the Anointed One and has anointed us is God. And He has also set His seal upon us and has put His Spirit into our hearts as a pledge and foretaste of future blessings. Yes, happy are we if we have this pledge or guarantee in our hearts. All the promises are ours, both present and future. Because we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, they're called according to a purpose, or for a purpose. Now the sealing or guarantee of the Holy Spirit produces a deeper and deeper relationship with God. We gradually are learning to know God, and this is life eternal, that we may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Now both the acquiring of knowledge and Christian experience contribute to this. Now we know that knowledge is very necessary, but there is something that is more than knowledge. Ephesians, the third chapter, verse 17 to 20, the Apostle Paul tells us that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now this is something more than intellectual knowledge, isn't it? Yes, it is this vital relationship in our lives, being rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Yes, it is our Christian experiences that Paul is speaking of here. Now, every one of us, as we go along the pilgrim way, knows that there are things with our Heavenly Father's dealings with us that surpass knowledge. Paul said in the wonderful 13th chapter of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he said, "Though I have all knowledge, but have not love, I am nothing." Now knowledge will pass away and be replaced with more knowledge. But it is the right use of knowledge that matters. It requires some knowledge to experience love. As the Spirit of Christ is in our hearts, His principles will guide our life. We may all have reached more or less the same degree of knowledge. Yes, we all may know the fall of man, his redemption, the call of the church, and restitution for all mankind. That is a general knowledge that all of us have. But we have not all reached the same degree of faith. That is why we have different experiences, one from the other. Our Father deals with us individually, according to our faith. And that is why our experiences differ. We are assured from the standpoint of the future, that all things work together for our good. Now, Paul, we know, he had many bitter experiences. But did Paul complain or murmur? No, the desire of his heart was, if by any means I might attain. And then towards the end of his life, he said, "I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Yes, Paul said, "I have learned." All that most of us can say today is that we are still learning. And the Lord permits us to have various experiences to learn these needed lessons, to develop us as new creatures in Christ Jesus. The extent to which we have been blessed by God is revealed in the sixth chapter of Hebrews, verses 4 to 6. those once enlightened. Now the light of truth from heaven shone into our hearts and showed us that we needed a Savior, that we were sinners. We were children of wrath, even as others, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine into our hearts. And it showed us that we could lay down our little all with the Master. We have tasted of the gift from heaven, our Lord Jesus. And we are made partakers of the Holy Spirit. And we have tasted of the good word of God. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Now this good word has been sweet, hasn't it? We're going to hear much of that for the next 5 days. Psalm 119, 103rd verse. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Yes, this word of God has been sweet, and it has comforted our hearts more than any other man could do. What a comfort to our hearts has been the tasting of the powers of the world to come. That new world wherein dwelleth righteousness, that is promised as the real remedy for the troubles of the world today, and how much they need that kingdom. But we still have to wait for God's due time. Yes, and then we also have this peace of God which passeth all human understanding. It is that peace which Jesus left his disciples, a peace that the world cannot give nor can it take away. Yes, these are some of the many, many blessings we have received of our Heavenly Father. Now this much we gain this side the veil. But what about the other side? Our final inheritance is in heaven. And the Apostle Peter tells us of this in 1 Peter, 1 chapter, verses 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Yes, brethren, this will be the complete fulfillment of God's inheritance in the saints. And may the Lord add his blessing.